But with text messaging, the process can be drawn out for hours, or even days. You'll sit staring at your phone, wondering why women have made the simple act of setting a date so much more complicated than it needs to be. The key to preventing yourself from going crazy is to be patient, not to get frustrated, and to keep it as simple as possible. On the phone, you can crack a joke here or there and then ease into making plans. But that would be foolhardy using text, because it's surely going to be misinterpreted. You'll be written off as weird. The optimal text game is to remain logistical and to get straight to the point of asking her out. Refrain from sending jokes, stories, or emoticons. I absolutely do not recommend sending a text on the same night you meet. A common one is along the lines of, "It was nice meeting you." It's a mistake for three reasons. One, most other guys do this and you'll end up grouped with them. Two, it relieves all the tension of her wondering if you're going to contact her or not. And three, it can easily be construed as needy, no matter how tight your game was when you met her. Just as when calling on the phone, make your first contact 2 to 4 days after the first meeting, at the same time of night, between 8 and 9 p.m. Here's a default text messaging template to follow for setting the first date, with additional comments that explain the strategy. You: "Hey Jenny, it's Roosh, how are you?" Her: "I'm good, how about you?" Send this first text even if she has your number in her phone and knows it's you. It's generally a bad sign if it takes her more than an hour to respond, so you'll know by then if you have a solid prospect on your hands. Notice the undercapitalization and missing punctuation. Feel free to leave out the question mark. It's preferable to show you don't care too much, and besides, we're not writing a master's thesis. An occasional misspelling helps more than it hurts, because it shows you aren't proofreading your text. When it's your turn to reply, send, "Good, good. Do you want to hang out later in the week?" You can also say "this week" instead of "later in the week." There are two things to notice here. One, we're getting right down to business. Otherwise, the process would take forever. And two, we're giving her the opportunity to say yes. Putting the ball in her court forces her to make some effort and investment, no matter how small. She doesn't just hop along for the ride without doing a bit of work. Her: "Okay, sure." You: "How about Thursday around 9? Sometimes you have to take a stab in the dark when suggesting plans, unlike the phone, where you can feel out the days she'll be free. What you can do to make it less of a stab is to ask about days she might be free when initially getting her number. As you're saving her number in your phone, say, "I'm usually free on Wednesday nights. Maybe that'll be good." Continue to shoot for weekday nights for your first date, and suggest one at least 2 days in advance. Suggesting a date 1 day in advance is risky, and going for one on the same day is the wrong move, though it's a common mistake guys diving into text game make. Only desperate girls accept same-day date planning, especially before sex has occurred. It's something you do to your girlfriend or for a booty call, not to a new girl. Just because you're using an easier way to contact her doesn't mean you're going to get sloppy and change the game. If she happens to be busy on the day of your initial suggestion, she'll throw out another day if she's interested, and you can proceed as described below. If she replies with a "no" or "I'm sorry, I can't," without a counteroffer, chances are the interaction is over and she's simply being nice by replying to you in the first place. There are two things you can do. First, you can suggest another day, but it probably won't work because if she was feeling you, she would have already done that. The second thing, which I recommend, is to do nothing. Don't reply and let a few days go by until you breezily start another text conversation by sending a restart text, which I'll explain later. Your hope in restarting is that you'll be catching her in a hornier mood, when she'll be more likely to agree to a date. The worst thing you can do is push it when she's not at all being lukewarm to your texts. Let's continue the script after she has accepted your date suggestion. Her: "Sounds good, where?" You: "Let me think of a place. I'll hit you up Thursday." You do this as an indirect way to confirm the date if it's scheduled a couple days in advance, which it probably will be. It's a flake defense move that will prevent you from getting stood up by a girl who changed her mind during the 2 day downtime. If you scheduled a date for the next day, then reply by telling her the place. Otherwise, send a confirmation 4 to 5 hours before the start time on the day of the date. If you suggested a 9 o'clock date time, send a confirmation text between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Here's an example for setting the date venue. You? Hey, how about we meet at so-and-so bar at 9? Her. Okay, see you then. She gave you a very straightforward response, but let's replay it with her replying in a slightly different manner. You? Hey, how about we meet at so-and-so bar at 9? Her. Okay, sounds good. You? Cool. The difference is subtle but important. In the first case, she said, see you then, which implies that the date is locked and loaded. There's no reason to reply or confirm. In the second case, her sounds good was a semi-confirmation that leaves things slightly open. It would be prudent to lock it up with a cool or all right. For centuries to come, game scholars will debate how necessary it is to send a confirmation text when a girl agrees to the date. But my take is this. For the first date, don't give her an excuse to stand you up. On future dates, especially after some intimacy has been established, you can be a little more lazy about locking up the confirmation to make her wonder if you're going to show up or not. That's riskier on the first date because if she isn't well invested in you, she could not show up and simply say she wasn't sure if you were coming or not. That's all it takes to set a date with text. The main idea is to keep it simple and purely logistical. Do not try to start a new conversational thread. Don't tell stories, and definitely don't try to build attraction through cocky or funny lines. Only after you've had sex with her and build deep rapport can you open up and flirt and joke more. But being flirty before sex has a high risk of backfiring. One important thing to keep in mind is to regulate your response times. If she takes 15 minutes to reply to your text, take 10 to 20 minutes to respond. If she takes 30 minutes, take 20 to 40 minutes. If she takes 60 minutes, take 45 to 75 minutes. Vary your response times and be unpredictable. Sometimes reply a little earlier and sometimes much later. A big part of having tight text game comes down to your reply times, and the last thing you want is to appear eager. A common occurrence will be when a girl takes forever to respond. You text her, then hours or maybe even a full day went by, but she doesn't text back. You wonder if she died. If she does eventually reply, it's either because she's flaky or testing your neediness. While waiting for her response, don't make the mistake of texting again, no matter how much time has passed, and absolutely do not call her. If you think of a non-response as disrespect, which I believe it is, it'd be foolish to reward it with another text, since it's the same as calling again after she didn't respond to your initial voicemail. By sending a second text, you put a nail in the interaction while stroking her ego. Wait it out instead, and if she finally does reply, make sure you take your sweet time texting back. You'll notice when girls are playing the game with you when it takes exactly 30 or 60 minutes to respond. This isn't entirely bad, because she doesn't want to appear eager herself. She wants you to think she's busy and ultimately a desirable catch. While on the surface it seems silly to time responses, that's what it takes to not appear needy and to get girls out who are attracted to you. Believe me when I say that you can lose a girl by replying too quickly. With text messaging, when in doubt, chill out. As long as you regulate reply times and keep it logistical, it's hard to go wrong. This strategy ensures that you'll be getting out the girls who already like you. Trying to build attraction through text is fruitless because if you couldn't do it in person, you're definitely not going to do it 160 characters at a time. Also consider using blackout periods to hide the fact that you're meticulous with your reply times. Refrain from sending texts on the hour or half hour. For example, don't send a text at exactly 4 o'clock or 4:30. Send it at 4:03 or 4:27 instead. While a seemingly trivial detail, this suggests that you aren't waiting to reply at certain times. Make things appear as natural as possible, ironically by being unnatural. Text game gets more variable after the first date. You'll probably be making it up as you go along, but I find that you won't be heavily messaging a girl until you've had 3 or 4 dates and have already gotten the bang. If she starts to show affection in her text messaging, it's okay to do the same. Just follow this simple rule. Do not show more affection than she does. It's okay to keep up with her, but never surpass her. An example is when a girl sends you a text immediately after a good first date. It happens to me about a third of the time. Her? Hey, I had a really good time tonight. Thanks for the drinks. Kiss. You? Yeah, I did too. Good night. Feel free to show affection or interest as long as she's doing it first, and yours isn't more than hers, as in the previous example. Follow this principle and your text will never be mocked by a girl in front of her friends, and you won't be seen as needy or a beta. That leads to a good rule of thumb when it comes to text. Would you send the text you're writing if you knew that all her friends were going to read it? Because rest assured, she'll share nearly everything with her girlfriends. There will be times when you get frustrated about how difficult it is to make plans. A girl is either taking too long to reply, or she's playing games by suggesting to hang out and then suddenly disappearing. In such cases, you'll be tempted to do one of two things. The first is to reply quickly. You'll feel that you're losing her and need to keep things going by sending a fast response. This is a wrong move. She'll sense your neediness and pull back even more. The second thing is to pick up the phone and call her to cut the bullshit and make solid plans. But this is also a wrong move, since I guarantee that she won't pick up. She'll just smile at how she's getting you to chase her down. The last thing you want to do is appear needy in the face of difficulty, and if you're feeling frustrated or played, it's likely that you've already lost the girl. The best thing you can do is relax, play it cool, and take your sweet time in replying. Another tool for your text messaging toolbox is the restart text. It's something you send days after a girl texts a date cancellation, refusal, or some other aloof message that suggests she's slipping away. For example, say you ask a girl out on a Tuesday night, but she responds by saying she can't and doesn't make a counteroffer. In that case, chill out, wait a couple days, and then send a restart text containing an innocuous question such as, "How was your weekend?" or "Did you survive Mardi Gras?" or something based on an event or activity she told you she was going to do. The intent of a restart text is to gauge her responsiveness and enthusiasm. If she takes 4 hours to respond to a restart text and doesn't give any substance for you to respond to, there's no point asking her out again. If she responds with some detail or even asks a question, that's positive enough for you to suggest to hang out 1 or 2 text cycles later. Sending a "what are you up to this week" can key you in on what day to go for the date. You use restart text because you don't want to ask girls out who are becoming unresponsive, since that's like trying to have a conversation with somebody in a coma. Technically, they can hear you, but it's unlikely you'll get a response. A restart text gives you information on where you stand while asking the girl to put some effort into the process. And if she refuses to do so, delete her number with no regrets. You can use text messaging to set the second date as well. At the end of a good first date, feel out her future schedule by saying, "Maybe we should hang out again in a few days." Remember, you're just feeling out her schedule, not trying to iron out plans. Her response will clue you in on which day to suggest for the next date. Text her in 2 or 3 days to see how she's doing, and then ask her out with the next reply, remaining logistical and boring. Her replies may have more color in them, and you can add some to yours in response. But don't go overboard. You'll know when you've done that because she'll take forever to reply, punishing you for being a retard. If everything goes well on the second date, and you want to continue seeing her, pick up the phone and make a first phone call, which also doubles as a test. Even though she has your number in her phone and has gone out with you, and maybe was even penetrated by your snake, there's at least a 50% chance that she won't answer. In that case, leave the brief voicemail as described earlier. If she takes more than 2 hours to call back or merely responds with a text instead of calling, don't ever call again unless she calls you. She's telling you that she's not ready to put in the extra work of talking on the phone. So you shouldn't either. Stick to texts. We're at a point in our culture where you may never talk on the phone with a girl you get into a relationship with. A good rule of thumb is not to call until you've had sex, or come very close to it. Once you get past the downside of text messaging, you'll find that there's a healthy upside, getting more dates. With text, I get a 75% reply rate. With phone, it's closer to 66%. That may not sound significant, but over a couple years, that means I'm taking out a lot more women. I prefer talking on the phone, but as they say, the proof is in the pudding. Since it's possible that you may get more dates by calling instead of texting, it'd be prudent to experiment with both strategies. Email communication. Email is your worst communication option, but it does have its uses, such as when you're traveling abroad. Otherwise, there's no reason to take a girl's email address without getting her phone number. In the rare case that an email address is all you can get, treat it the same as a phone number. Send a short message 2 to 4 days later. Don't introduce any new stories or run any complicated routines, and don't try to jog her memory by explaining who you are. In your first email, say what you are up to, make a reference to meeting her, and suggest a date, all under 50 words. For example, subject, none. Right now I'm sitting in my cubicle, staring at my padded wall. You wish you were me. Saturday night was fun, though. Good to meet a fellow dog hater. Do you want to hang out for a drink this week? Roosh. If she wants to have a drink with you, she'll write back promptly. Otherwise, you'll get no response or a lame excuse about being busy. If she gives a positive reply, answer whatever question she poses, and then end your second, still short, email with, "I was thinking maybe Thursday. What's your phone number?" Contact her within a day of her reply and follow the standard phone or text game procedure to set a date. If a girl gives me bullshit about only wanting to talk through email, I write something snippy about not wanting to be internet pen pals, and then let her come after me if she's really interested. It's up to you whether you want to play the email game, but you will find it rarely pays off. The main reason I advise against email is that it unnecessarily lengthens the time until you see her again. If you're going to have to get her phone number anyway, you might as well get it in the beginning. The time it takes to set a date on the phone is 1 or 2 days. Through email, it can take up to a week. The first date. Since it takes a handful of numbers to get one date, you may feel pressure to perform well on the ones you do go on, but you shouldn't. Dates are easier than when you first met her because you already have her attention and don't need to compete with her friends or other guys. Also, silences are more welcome. If a girl agreed to a date, that means she already likes you, and you just need to eke out a respectable performance to get some action. Don't make it harder on yourself by scheduling a first date with a group or another couple. Resist if she tries to invite you to a party with her friends, and be suspicious if she runs into a friend during the date. You want the first date to be in isolation. If not, you're back to where you were when you first met, competing for her attention and dealing with cock blockers. As for what to wear on the first date, lean toward the conservative side of your wardrobe. Many times I go out at night with friends wearing bold colors or experimental t-shirts to stand out and get some attention, but on date nights, that's not necessary. Dress simple but nice. Some guys prepare for a date by loading up on caffeine and getting pumped up with music, but a first date isn't a high-energy affair. It's just you sitting next to a person and talking for several hours. If you're going to do a lot of talking on a date, the best way to prepare is to do some talking. Call a couple friends beforehand and have conversations to put you in a talkative state. As you're walking, driving, or subwaying to the date, remind yourself that your goal is to have sex with the girl. It's not to impress her with your amazing qualities, wow her with conversation, induce hysterical laughter, or to make out with her. It's to bang her. While you'll probably make her laugh and have awesome conversation, that is not your main goal. Not until after you bang her can you focus on other things, such as a relationship, regular sex, threesomes, anal, and so on. You want to get sex out of the way as quickly as possible, so you can get past all the silly games and bullshit women often play before it happens. You're going to follow a tested and easy process to gain access to her vagina no later than the third date. Start off the date on the right foot by being late. Even if you get to the venue early, walk around or sit in your car so you can be late by 5 to 10 minutes. The reason ties into something we already discussed. You want the girl to focus on herself, because many girls are insecure she'll start to worry about being stood up. She'll have anxious feelings focusing on your arrival, instead of the doubts she had about coming to see you. When you arrive, she'll probably be on the phone with a friend to reduce her anxiety. Give her an enthusiastic hi and a quick hug. Under no circumstances should you bring a gift on dates, such as flowers or candies. She'll peg you as a beta if you start with the cliché romantics before a serious relationship develops. Begin a date conversation the same way you'd start one on the phone. After you hug her, ask her how she's doing, and launch into a conversation thread about something recent or present. Maybe something interesting happened on the drive over, or maybe you got lost, had to stay late at work, or just took a hard exam. As long as it happened today, talk about it as you would to a close friend. She'll then go into something that happened to her that day. The first thread breaks the ice and relaxes you both. Start with basic threads and move up in complexity as the date progresses. You'll notice I gave a way to start the date without accounting for whether you had kissed her or not in your previous encounter. That's because if you did kiss her beforehand, you can't greet her with your tongue. You have to start over and rebuild the energy since the last time you saw her. It's like repriming a pump. When it comes to the first date, the only difference that prior kissing makes is toward the end of the date, when you're most likely to get farther. If you are starting the date at a cafe, order a dessert and a glass of water. Coffee won't make a lot of sense if you're going to drink afterward. When you're both looking at the menu, say, "We'll start here, and then I know a place down the street we can go next." Recommend a good snack if you've been to the cafe before. Spend your time in getting to know you conversation. Talk about your job, your background, your childhood pets, favorite foods, likes, dislikes, hobbies, countries you visited, and whatever else an average girl considers important in getting to know someone. When you first meet a girl, it's better to focus on more interesting and higher energy threads to create a good first impression. But now you can spend time building rapport and looking for commonalities. Even if there's only physical attraction between the two of you, make an effort to at least feign interest in who she is as a person. Acknowledge similarities, no matter how minor. If you both love macaroni and cheese, stop short of suggesting you two might be soulmates. During getting to know you conversation, avoid making it sound like an interview. During getting to know you conversation, avoid making it sound like an interview. Both of you should be conversing and asking questions, and it should flow naturally, without much effort. Because after all, you two barely know each other and have decades of combined experiences, interests, and knowledge to discuss. Use the tail end of one thread to launch into another. For instance, if you're talking about careers, the future may come up, which lets you talk about the exciting things you really want to do. Talking about your dreams may touch upon travel and your favorite international cities. Talking about your favorite international cities may lead to a story about a certain club you loved. Talking about a certain club you loved may remind you of your nightlife culture opinions. Talking about nightlife culture may touch on alcohol, your bartending knowledge, or your favorite drinks. Talking about your favorite drinks may lead to a discussion of food and your comical cooking failures. Talking about cooking may lead to mention of your dirty kitchen and the sloppy roommates you live with. Talking about sloppy roommates may lead to a conversation about renting a place versus buying one. Talking about renting may lead to a conversation about how you have friends who still live at home with their parents. Talking about your friends' parents may lead to the funny things your parents do. Talking about your parents may lead to your childhood and an interesting thing you did in the first grade. Talking about the first grade may lead to what you think about kids and your little sibling. Talking about your little sibling may lead to a conversation about pets and how you had a crazy hamster that died of natural causes. Talking about your dead hamster may lead to a movie you loved that had a hamster and discussion of your favorite movies in general. I think you get the idea. If you go with the flow, conversations with total strangers you have nothing in common with can go on forever, just by hopping through threads. Keep the vibe in mind and be chatty within your comfort level, without forcing awkward statements that sound as if you're trying too hard. There's nothing more you can do to prepare, because it's not practical to memorize material for a several-hour date. People will say you shouldn't talk about God or politics on dates, but this isn't an absolute rule. If you and the girl have the same opinions on God or politics, Talking about it can strengthen your bond. You can probe each topic and make an educated guess as to whether you share the same beliefs before bringing it up in a serious way. For instance, if you ask a girl if she goes to church regularly, and she says yes, it wouldn't be wise to discuss your atheist beliefs until after you bang her. "I'm not religious, but I keep an open mind," has come out of my mouth dozens of times on first dates. If you ask who she voted for in the last presidential election, and she says the name of the guy you hate, it would be unsafe to talk about politics. Even if you have the same viewpoints on these topics, glaze over them for a minute or two anyway, because religion and politics are the most asexual topics you can discuss. After 45 to 60 minutes of talking, get ready to move on to the second venue. If there is no second venue, ramp down the getting-to-know-you conversation and gradually change gears for the next stage. When you get the check, pay without making a big deal about it. On the first date, you've invited her to venues of your choosing, so the most logical and natural move is to pay. She may offer to pay her share, and even if it's an insincere offer, it's a positive sign that she's at least trying to match your effort. If she offers, say, "No, it's fine, I got it. You can get me next time." Earlier, we talked about two key moves, the staring contest and the hair stroke. The next one we're going to discuss is the arm-in-arm move. Perform this move on the walk to the second venue. Simply stick your elbow out to the side your date is on and form a hook for her to grab. Most girls know what this means and will instinctively put an arm through yours. If she doesn't pick up on your cue, gently nudge her with your elbow and make an exaggerated throat-clearing sound. If she still doesn't get it, which will be rare, say how your mom is 1/4 French and taught you how to walk arm-in-arm from a young age. It's not critical to keep the arm-in-arm hold for the entire walk to the second venue, but do it for at least a couple minutes. It seems innocent on the surface, but it's an intimate gesture that is just shy of hand-holding. Changing gears. The fun starts at the second venue, one that serves alcohol and seating arrangements that make it possible for you to sit next to her. A comfortable couch or booth is preferable. You don't want any physical space separating you two. After you order and take your first sips, take a deep breath and relax, because this is going to be the easiest time with your girl yet. Earlier, you focused on informational conversation, but now you're going to move toward humor and opinion. Ask if she believes in astrology and claim you read her horoscope today. Recite a couple vague statements and end with something surprisingly accurate, like, "You'll be especially social tonight." Go into your ideas about life, people, work, and man, the things you believe that make you who you are. Keep it positive. Let her know what you're passionate about. Silences on your part will show your relaxed, confident nature. When they happen, instead of filling them like you did before, maintain relaxed eye contact with her for several seconds, and then sit back and sip your drink while observing other patrons of the bar. You can play a game on whether you can guess if the couple nearby is in a relationship or not, and for how long. You're at a point where almost half the silences should be broken by her. Before you finish your first drink, perform the fourth key move, the fake palm read. You won't meet a girl who doesn't love having her palm read. Introduce the move by telling her that you know how to read palms. Make up a story about how your mom used to be the best palm reader in town and taught you a couple things when you were little. She'll doubt your ability, but insist that you're extremely accurate. Nest her hand in yours and have your other hand ready to trace her palm. The effectiveness of this move isn't in the reading, which is bogus, but in the hand-touching. If you look at couples in public, what are they usually doing? Holding hands. The three lines on a person's palm are life, money, and love. I think, but it doesn't matter. When you get to each line, all you have to do is feed back information she has already told you, under the guise that you're reading her fortune. If she works in a law firm and is trying to move up the ladder, say, "Your line says that you're ambitious and want to do law, maybe?" "Yes, law. And you want to be a really important person in your firm." When she accuses you of not reading her fortune, smile and say, "No way, it's all in the hand. It's right there." Pretend you're offended that she thinks you're not a reputable palm reader. She may even snatch her hand away, but grab it back and continue, asking her to stop disturbing the psychic energy. Go on for a couple minutes while you squint at her hand and hold it up to view at different angles. The only part you want to memorize is the love line analysis, which comes last. Say, "It says here that you're going to meet a really cool guy." Then describe yourself. She'll laugh and give you a look, but continue to feign innocence as if you're a legitimate palm reader. After the palm read, make extended eye contact and top it off with a smirk. The fake palm read sets you up for the single arm move. Put your arm behind her and gently wrap around her lower back, ending at her waist. This is an obvious move that basically says, "Hey, look at me, I'm making a move." But remember, your physical moves don't always have to be subtle. If she's engaging you, not texting on her phone every 5 minutes, not burping loudly and not recoiling when you make any type of physical contact, she'll welcome the single arm move and get ready for you to kiss her. Girls who don't want to be kissed, on the other hand, will act fidgety, nervous, and distracted, and will keep reminding you of the time because she has to go soon. If your arm can't get through because she's sitting too far back, just ask her to move up a little bit so you can put your arm through. It's that simple. By now, you've both had a couple drinks, so sitting back is the natural thing to do. You know how guys in the movies do the exaggerated yawn to get an arm around a girl? You can do that too, for a laugh. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you do it. Now your hand will be able to gently cup the side of her ass for the rest of the night. As more alcohol enters your systems, it will become increasingly difficult to maintain intelligent conversation. There will be more silences, more eye contact, and shorter exchanges that will be more playful in nature. You can even remark on how your ability to make smart conversation is diminishing. This would be a good time to run the strawberry game. When I go on a date, the only things I remind myself to do are the arm-in-arm move, the fake palm read move, the single-arm move, and the strawberry game. I can screw up or forget the other things, but these four are the milestones that help me stay on task for the first kiss and beyond. However, there is no single essential move you must do. They're each a drop in the bucket of the overall vibe you're trying to create. Think of each move as increasing your odds of success by a few percentage points, a number that in the end is too small to determine your fate. While I don't want to sound like a total moron in non-scripted parts of the date, regular conversation doesn't have to be award-winning and perfect. If she's attracted to you, which she is because she showed up on the date, comfortable with you, and you were able to run a couple moves, intimacy is almost guaranteed. Even on bad dates, where it was assumed there wouldn't be a second, my dates were almost always down for makeouts by the end. The strawberry game. The strawberry game is an example of cocology, a Japanese pseudoscience that is supposed to tell you things you didn't know about yourself by answering situational questions. For instance, if I ask you to imagine walking through a woods, then ask you to tell me what it was like, and you say it was a tropical rainforest, that means you're ambitious and always looking for adventure. Sounds silly, right? But these types of games, like palm reading and horoscopes, are like crack to a woman. They're effective at relaxing her and getting her into an imaginative mood to help her forget about her everyday problems. They also increase rapport and add to the "I've known you longer than I really have" feeling. After telling you that cocology is silly, I want to state that the strawberry game is fairly accurate. I've done it with at least 50 girls, and from my experience, a pattern emerges that gives weight to the analysis, especially with the first two questions. While it's fun, I do it for my benefit as much as the girls. To introduce the game, say, "Hey, I know a fun game that can tell me things about you." She'll be curious, so go ahead and begin. Imagine yourself in a field. It's a spring day, and you're wearing a cute spring outfit. Birds are circling above, and it just feels comfortable. Off in the distance, you see a strawberry field, a sea of green and red, and since you like strawberries, you start walking toward the field. You walk for what seems like a long time, and you finally get to the field. How high is the fence around the strawberry field? If she isn't sure, say, how high is it in your mind? There doesn't have to be a fence if you don't see one. Continue. You go inside the strawberry field and walk down the rows of strawberries. You notice that they're big, juicy, and ripe. I mean, these are the best strawberries you've ever seen in your life. How many do you pick and eat right there? The last question? All right, so you ate the strawberries and are very satisfied. Now you're walking out of the strawberry field when the farmer stops you. He accuses you of eating his strawberries without asking. What do you say to him? The strawberry game reveals her views on sex because strawberries represent pleasure and passion to women. There's a very good chance she'll figure that out before you are done. The height of her fence represents her barrier to something pleasurable. In other words, her vagina. The answer you want to hear is, I don't see a fence. I don't believe in astrology or psychic power. But if a girl tells you her fence is higher than 4 feet, waist high, she has sexual issues that you may have already identified before administering the test. You're going to finesse the first question analysis because if her fence is low, you don't want to imply that she's a slut. Say, the height of your fence represents your barrier to intimacy. A lower fence means you don't delay intimacy with a guy you really like, while a higher fence, especially above 4 feet, means you consciously postpone intimacy for whatever reason. Maybe you've been hurt many times. Intimacy here means sex, but let her think it means whatever she wants it to mean. The second question represents her sexual appetite or her desire for sexual variety. Each strawberry is a single sex act with a man. If she gives an answer like, as many as I can eat, she's an impulsive girl who has had her share of good times with men. Say the number of strawberries you eat represents your sexual appetite. A lower number means you're generally satisfied with men, while a higher number means you're not currently satisfied, and your sex life isn't what you imagined it to be. Since a majority of girls give a high number, I like telling her the bad news that she's not sexually satisfied because she'll be staring at me. The potential solution. Tell her that the answer to the third question represents what she says to a man after sex. Most girls say, I'm sorry, or thank you, they were delicious. The answer to the question is fun, but it doesn't appear to correlate to any real-life behavior. After the strawberry game, you're going to be nearing hour 3 of the date. Stop for a moment to think about where you stand. Is she participating in the conversation by engaging you and asking questions? Is she laughing at your jokes, even the lame ones? Is she not recoiling when you touch her? Is she not increasing the physical space between her body and yours? Is she not making persistent excuses about having to go home? The answer to all of these questions doesn't have to be yes to proceed and escalate, but take note of the general trend. Are things getting better or worse? If things are getting better and she's warming up to you and appears more relaxed and comfortable, it's time to go for the kiss while at the second venue, whether you've kissed her before or not. Date escalation. I can't stress how important it is to kiss her by the end of the first date. Except for one exception, a virgin. Every girl I've ever had sex with was kissed by that time. If you're aiming for sex by date 3, a reasonable goal, you need to get the first kiss quickly. Otherwise, it will take longer to get there, and you'll enter the dangerous territory of committing to a girl who is probably getting what she wants, attention and validation, at your expense. Kissing a girl by the end of the first date is such a reliable predictor of upcoming sex that I don't even bother calling girls who resist it. With so many girls out there who are comfortable with intimacy, it'd be a waste of your time to go down the rabbit hole of a relationship with a girl who is going to blueball you. You need to know how a girl is in bed before you decide to make a real investment in her, and it would be a waste of your resources to wait until date 8 to find out that she's a dead fish. Don't buy the juice before you get a squeeze. After you've run your date moves and routines, you'll be getting hornier and start thinking about banging her. Once all signs point to her enjoying your company, and you enjoying hers, It's time to use the hair stroke move before going in for the kiss. It's fine if you've already done it before. During a silent moment in the conversation, while sitting next to her with one arm behind her and one arm free, maintain eye contact, get a little closer, do the hair stroke move, glance at her lips, and get a little closer until you're just a few inches from her face. Then go in for the kiss. If she's going to resist the kiss, she'll recoil during the stage where you get closer, which is highly unlikely if your arm is around her. It's also acceptable to do a couple passes where you move in and pull back once or twice to tease her, as described earlier. This is less necessary on a date than when kissing on the same night you meet, because the hours of talking have created sexual tension that needs a little amplification. Don't overdo the kiss. She may interpret your desire to constantly kiss her as neediness. You always want to leave her wanting more by stopping before you think she's getting satisfied. If on a first date, I kiss a girl for a total of 5 minutes, I'd rather do it in 5 one-minute bursts than 1 5-minute session. After you pull back from the first kiss, it will always be you that pulls back from kisses first. Wait 10 minutes before you go back in again to show her that kissing is no big deal, and then resume conversation as if nothing major happened. Kiss re-entry is best when another natural silence takes place. Feel free to throw in a couple of fake-outs where you get really close, making her think you're going to kiss her again, but then pulling back to continue talking. Be unpredictable about when you end kisses. Sometimes go in for a minute, sometimes 2 minutes, and sometimes only 20 seconds. Save the extended makeouts for when you get her in a bedroom. You want to tease her, blue-balling yourself in the short term, to turn her on so much that she doesn't resist you when you escalate in the bedroom. If she's not ready to be kissed at the second venue, you have 2 options. The first is to move the date to a third venue. I only recommend this if you think she's interested but a little conservative or nervous. Otherwise, it will be a waste of money. You begin to hit the point of diminishing return when you venue change to a third location, but it can sometimes help break down remaining resistance. Your second option is to end the date and to try to kiss her when you say goodnight. It's possible that she wants to kiss you, but not in public, especially if it's the first kiss. Get her in your car to drive her home, or walk her to wherever her ride is, and then try to kiss her after the goodnight hug. Since it's not a good idea to bother contacting girls we don't kiss by the end of the first alcohol date, it will be a do-or-die moment where you must make your best effort to kiss her, even if your intent seems obvious. If you have to keep trying until she's finally forced to turn her head away, so be it. You'll walk away from the first date knowing whether she's open to having sex soon or not. I wouldn't stay in the final venue much longer than an hour after you kiss her, because there's a danger you may stall. Alcohol mixed with a first kiss tends to completely kill male conversational ability, and you don't want to ruin the moment with silence or fall into the trap of trying to kiss her too much. Ask if she's ready to go and then prepare for the next stage of escalation by driving or walking her home. If she drove to meet you, the date ends with you walking her to her car unless you can pull off the "Are you still trying to hang out?" venue change move. Odds are you won't succeed if she has a regular job and it's a weekday because she will have to get up early. Driving back to her place is the best scenario because you can play it as if you're just dropping her home when in fact you're going to try to weasel your way inside once you get there. You may feel sleazy trying to get inside her place on the first date, but you have to do it every time because it shows her your intent is sexual in nature. If she's not open to having sex, it's better to find out now. It could be possible that trying to get into her place may cost you a notch with a semi-conservative girl who would put out on date 5. But in the long run, there's a net gain in notches because it quickly helps to seal the deal with girls who don't mind casual sex. You'll be surprised at how close you can get to sex on a Tuesday night first date after a couple drinks. It pays to be sleazy. You won't let her know your intention to enter her place until you're within sight of her front door. Then you'll pull out the most low-tech line that will ever come out of your mouth. "Can I use your bathroom?" This line is joked about and well-known, but it works extremely well. It works even in instances where the girl doesn't like you. I know this because there have been cases where I used the bathroom and the girl then literally pushed me out the door. I think the line works because it's so often mocked that no girl will believe you'd use it and not actually have to use the bathroom. It's even versatile enough to use on the same girl a second or third time. I don't care if you don't have to use the bathroom or if there are 10 gas stations with restrooms right next to her place, but you must use this line. Regardless if you drop her off by foot or car, you'll execute the "Can I use your bathroom?" line in a similar manner. After you ask, she's going to pause before giving you an answer. If her pause is unnaturally long, say, "No, really." If she doesn't say something like, "Sure," she'll offer an excuse, such as her bathroom is dirty or her gay roommate is a light sleeper. Then you move on to stage 2 escalation with, "I have to go really bad. Can you point me to a safe alley nearby then?" Say it with a slightly sarcastic tone. Once you show that you're serious about urinating and that her doubts are ridiculous, she'll say yes about 95% of the time. If she still says no and you're in your car, move on to stage 3 escalation. "Okay, how about this? If I can't find a parking spot in 60 seconds, then I'll just leave because I really have to go." Then assume she said yes and start looking for a space, unless she gives you a clear no. She won't. If you're not in your car, stage 3 escalation will be asking for specific public locations, such as a dark alley where you can run to urinate. I've never had a girl say no after a stage 3 escalation, even if the date was mediocre. I repeat, this line has never failed me. If she lets you take her home, she'll let you inside to empty your bladder. The bathroom weasel technique is like when a movie theater asks if you want to upgrade to a large soda for only 30 cents more. Sure, whatever, might as well. Getting her back in your place will be harder because you force her to decide before you're there. You give her too much time to think, so it becomes less of an impulsive decision, though there are a couple indirect techniques you can use to sell your place if that's where you'd rather end up. The first is when you want to share something with her, like pictures or videos. Examples: "Hey, why don't we hang out at my place for a bit? I want to show you my pictures from Spain." Or, "Hey, why don't we hang out at my place so we can listen to that album I told you about?" Or, "Hey, why don't we hang out at my place so I can show you the videos my friend shot of our last trip?" The reason should be something cool you want to share that can only be experienced at your house. Don't oversell. Say it casually, like it's no big deal. It's as if you're asking a buddy to come over and hang out. If she hesitates, which she probably will, add a time constraint. "It won't take very long. I can't stay up late anyway because I have to get up a little early." Say this even if it's a weekend night. Then assume she said yes and take the next step to get her to your house, whether it means calling the waitress to close your tab or starting to walk in the direction of someone's car. Unless you get a firm no or "I really can't," assume she's being wishy-washy so she won't appear to be a slut. As long as you don't grab her arm and physically pull her toward where you want to go, assuming a yes is just being a man who knows that girls want to be led. The second technique, generally used when the two of you have consumed alcohol, is suggesting that she join you for a drink at your place. You'll use this line when you're already drinking and having a good time, so that continuing the party at your place will seem to be the natural thing to do. If you're at a bar or club with a girl, and you've been making out with her, it's not going to sound natural to ask her to look at photos. Instead, say, "Are you ready to go?" She'll probably say yes. As you walk out of the venue, say, "Let's get a drink at my place." Assume the yes and start heading back toward your place. If she objects, hit her with a time constraint. This is my favorite technique for getting one-night stands. If you're unable to get her back on the first date, plan date 2 for a high-energy venue on the weekend. Then repeat the attempt. Call her 2 or 3 days after the first date, regardless of the day. You'll be out of routines by the second date, so rely on fun conversation threads. Stay relaxed, continue to regulate your makeout sessions to keep the sexual tension high, and flow from the vibe. Since you haven't had sex with her yet, refrain from compliments besides a generic, "You look nice tonight." And don't talk about your feelings for her or how she makes you happy. You have to play it cool, light, and fun until you bang her. If she makes a sincere offer to pay, let her, The purpose of middle game is to get her inside a bedroom, while gaming her in a way that lowers her resistance to having sex. Even though middle game is optional, since you can go straight from meat to bedroom on the same night, it's important for it to be your strength, because a large percentage of quality girls aren't open to one-night stands. Once she's inside your bedroom, all that's left is sealing the deal. Chapter 4. Late Game. If you strip sex down to its physical components, it's an act during which a man inserts a rod-shaped mass of engorged tissue into a woman's lubricated cavity, also made of tissue. A man rubs his rod in and out, stimulating pleasure receptors in his brain, until it decides to eject a genetic package that's important in continuing the species. Evolution tells a man's genes to impregnate as many women as possible, but tells a woman's genes to be more choosy, since having a child is risky and energy-intensive. Women are supposed to have sex only with men who have the resources to raise a child. But thanks to contraception, women now can have sex with men whose children they don't want to bear. Contraception has tipped millions of years of evolution to the advantage of the man, who can have sex with a large number of women without having to worry about children. What type of man gets rewarded with the most sex? An alpha male with two important skill sets. The first set makes women desire him through the use of game, in the form of personality, routines, and moves. This creates attraction, trust, comfort, and rapport. While the strawberry game, for example, won't do much on its own, it's powerful in creating sexual interest when used with other game components. The second skill set is persistence, which capitalizes on a woman's impulsive nature. Your persistence is firm but not desperate, and you understand that women need more encouragement than men when it comes to sex. If you only possess the first skill set, you'll have a type of showboat game where you can get numbers and makeouts with ease, but you'll only get laid when the girl is very horny and motivated. The force of your personality alone won't be able to get her into bed. Only the addition of a persistent mindset can you push all the way to the end. A girl's job is to resist penetration, even with the worthiest of men, and continue resisting as long as possible to preserve her value. She's afraid that by having sex with you too early, you'll think she's an easy slut not worthy of another call. Her resistance is based more on logic than emotion, since she's going against what she desires. You need to break down her resistance using subtle persuasion and mind tactics that move the decision to have sex back into the emotional realm, where she can't help but succumb to her desire. You provide an environment where she gets caught in the moment and things just happen and feel natural. Another way to break down resistance is to pound away like a jackhammer until she gets tired and gives in. This isn't an elegant approach, but it works because any type of human resistance can be broken down with enough pressure. We're going to use a combination of both approaches. Once inside, we left off with you at her place, asking to use the bathroom, or she's at your place, wanting to see travel pictures or to have a drink. Or maybe it's the same night you met and you venue changed her and a friend to a tiny apartment. The kiss has probably happened by now, but if not, you can knock it out once inside, using the techniques already described. Play it cool by not immediately touching or kissing her. After you use the bathroom, explore her living space, making comments and asking questions about books or pictures. Spend at least 5 minutes letting her get comfortable with you being in her place by not getting physically close. If during those 5 minutes she reminds you that she needs to get up early and you should get going, that means you're not getting laid. You'll also know she doesn't want you to stay when she leaves her shoes on and stands by the door. Simply give her a goodbye hug and make out with her a little bit, adding a little ass grab if you haven't already. If she doesn't try to kick you out in those first 5 minutes, she's giving you a green light to escalate, which means sex is a real possibility. If she's showing you around, get behind her and place your hands on her hips as you move closer to resume touching and kissing. You could get things going in the living room and move later, but it's in your best interest to get hot and heavy in the final destination, her bedroom, so your game won't be interrupted with having to relocate. Getting into her bedroom can be just as difficult as getting into her place, Some girls think that if they let you into her bedroom, sex will be inevitable, so they may resist when you ask for a tour. If she does resist, say, "Well, to me it's important because you can tell a lot about a girl by how her bedroom looks. For instance, the number of pillows is huge in knowing what kind of girl I'm dealing with." In a half-sarcastic tone, you're making it seem as if you need to see her bedroom to really know her. You know it's blatant bullshit, and she knows it's bullshit, but it works because you're giving her a reason to let you enter her bedroom without making it obvious that sex will happen. If she still resists, continue in the living room. If you're in your house, getting her into the bedroom will be easy, since it will be part of the tour, and it will have something you just have to show her, like the SpongeBob SquarePants pillow on your bed. In theory, you shouldn't have to work hard to get a girl horny, because she should be the one to get you horny. You should just have to lay back, allow her to take off your clothes, and let her please you with deep throat blowjobs. While you will eventually sleep with many girls who like to attack you in the bedroom, it will be rare for this to happen the first time you have sex. This is why you need to initiate the important moves of clothing removal and genital touching. She won't do it for you. We're getting to the part of the game that's like those novels with multiple endings. There are a lot of ways to get sex once you have her in a bedroom, but it's going to be rare for you to do it the same way twice. What I'm going to describe is a way that's natural and reliable. It includes key moves and lines that blow through resistance, but it's still going to be up to you to customize your moves to account for what's going on, along with her own unique likes and dislikes. If she's going crazy with pleasure over something I only mention in passing, you may want to give that some extra attention. Once you have a girl alone, and it's clear she doesn't mind you staying, kiss and explore her body with your hands. The ass is fair game, but don't touch her breasts or vagina yet. Massage and squeeze her inner thigh near her vagina as you make out with her. Once you get within a couple inches of her vagina, she'll probably squeeze her legs together, which is normal and not something you should be concerned about. Send your mouth off to areas other than her lips, such as her neck and ears. Put more passion and intensity into your kisses by adding more tongue, teeth, squeezes, and heavy breathing. You should be able to feel her enjoying the intimacy and getting more comfortable with you, and not resisting by grabbing your hands and moving them off her body. Are her eyes closed, indicating she's losing herself in the moment? Is she telling you how much she likes what you're doing? Is she starting to get aggressive by nibbling on your ear or sucking on your neck? If heavy petting started in the living room, say, "I think we should go to your bedroom where it's more comfortable." Focus next on her breasts. While your hand is exploring her torso, do a breast drive-by, simply rubbing over one of her breasts as if it's any other part of her body. You'll find that most girls don't resist breast touching because it's similar to an ass squeeze, something you've already done. A couple minutes after the breast drive-by, park your hand on a breast for a few seconds and give it a slight squeeze. If she doesn't slap your hand off, let your hands go on a random loop of touching and rubbing, including her face, hair, breast, torso, ass, hands, and legs. Have fun turning her on, and yourself. Next comes her vagina. Just as with the breast, do a drive-by vagina rub with your hand over her clothes, and then gauge her reaction. If she doesn't recoil, return again soon, pausing over the vagina and giving it more pressure. Your initial goal with vagina rubs is to help with escalation rather than giving pleasure. It's at this stage when most guys get their first dose of resistance, but you need her to accept this move to proceed. When it comes to resistance, there are two types of no. The first is, "No, I wouldn't have sex with you, even if the continuation of the human species depended on it." And the second is, "No, I don't want to have sex with you yet." The former can never be overcome, but the latter can. If at any point she resists you, and it will be obvious when she does, take a step back. Give her a little smile and stop doing whatever you were doing to place a little distance between you and her. Appear fine with her telling you to slow down, and then say, I want you to be completely comfortable, so I don't want you to do something you don't want to do. The purpose of saying this is to let her know you're a safe guy, that you have the control to stop at any time to respect her limits, and that she should give serious thought to letting herself go, since you're obviously the man. When you pull back in the bedroom, you create an uncomfortable vacuum that begs to be filled. You cause the girl to experience a temporary feeling of insecurity that can only be relieved when she comes closer to you in the form of touching or kissing. If she doesn't come back after you pull away, it's usually a sign that things probably won't go much farther on this night. Either way, after you encounter resistance, you want to restart, just as you would in a video game when your character dies. Go back to the beginning by focusing on simple kissing and touching, then redoing the moves you made before. When you eventually return to the same move that she resisted 10 to 15 minutes earlier, your odds of passing that stage will be higher. If she resists the same move a second time, your character has died again and you'll have to start all over. If she resists the same move a third time, start over again. Keep going until you feel a weird vibe that makes it seem as if you're going backward instead of forward. In many cases, you'll get past resistance on the second or third attempt, only to be stymied at the next step. Even though resistance isn't fun, push just a bit more than you feel comfortable with, so things will be easier on the next date. If you have her almost naked, and she's resisting, simply lay next to her, relax for a few minutes, then restart with touching and kissing until she gets hot again. The teasing you've been doing prior to this moment, such as brushing against her lips and pulling back, should have lessened the resistance you would have received otherwise, and sometimes it evaporates altogether. Resistance is a normal part of the game, so don't let it discourage you. One of my first bedroom beliefs was that I needed to avoid resistance. I thought a girl would like me less if she had to resist, but this isn't the case. For example, there was a girl who resisted me 7 times on our first date when I tried to take her panties off until I finally gave up. She was like a no broken record that night, but I easily had sex with her the next time we got together. Remember, girls reward aggressive guys who want to have sex with them, not timid guys who wait for pussy to fall from the sky. The restart technique can be performed indefinitely until she gives sincere complaints about your persistence that clearly show she's uncomfortable. You'll know because she'll stop kissing and engaging you. But if she jokes around with something like, "You're an aggressive one, aren't you? Keep going." After you get past the vagina rub without resistance, make the hand on crotch move, the most important bedroom move you can execute. It's bold but very effective. Up to this point, you've been doing most of the touching, but now you want to open the floodgates and give her permission to be the sexual being she really is. When one of her hands is near your waist, gently grab it and place it right on your cock, over your clothes. The length of time she spends on your cock indicates what your immediate chance of banging is. If she goes at it and tries to give you a hand job through your clothes, there's a good chance you're going to get laid. But if she acts as if your cock is a fiery piece of lava, you can mentally prepare for which porno clip you'll be masturbating to once you get back home. The goal is for her to spend at least 10 voluntary seconds giving your cock some attention. While 10 seconds doesn't sound like a long time, it's enough to proceed without worry. If she doesn't give your cock any attention, consider that resistance and restart from the top until you can repeat the move once more. Taking off her clothes. After the hand on crotch move, prepare for clothing removal. There's no clear time guideline for how long it takes to get to this point, because it depends on the girl and how much resistance you've been getting. On average, it takes me 15 to 45 minutes in the bedroom before I start thinking about taking off her clothes. But with heavy resistance, it may take up to 2 hours. Let at least a couple minutes go by between the removal of each article of clothing. The shoe comes off first. All you have to say is, "Why don't you take off your shoes?" If she asks why, give her a look as if she's asked a weird question and say, "To be more comfortable, of course." If she's on your bed, you can say that you don't want her to get it dirty. If she refuses to take off her shoes, She isn't planning to stay long. Next is her shirt, an important step that's a frequent source of resistance. There are two ways of taking off her shirt: telling her to do it, or doing it yourself. If you tell a girl to take off her shirt, you'd better be a confident motherfucker, because she'll be able to tell if you're opposing beta. Say, "Take off your shirt," in a matter-of-fact tone that isn't a demand or a question. Say it as if you'd say, "The sun is bright today." I usually say this when she's on top and straddling me. Some girls will take it off immediately, but others play a little game, saying something like, "You want me to take off my shirt?" Say please. Since all you have to do to get that shirt off is say please, go ahead and say it, because it's okay to let her feel as if she has some control over what's going on. If she hesitates, say, "I'll do it then," and start taking off her shirt. You can also take off her shirt without saying anything, by gradually moving it up as you touch and rub her torso. Inch up the shirt over the course of a minute, taking note if she tries to pull it back down, and then go for it by lifting it off. In most cases, she'll assist you and take the shirt off herself. If she resists, start over. Her shirt must come off before yours. Otherwise, you'll feel like an idiot if you're half naked and she has refused to take anything off. Once you get her shirt off, let a minute or two go by, and then take off yours. You can say, "I'm going to take mine off too, so you don't feel left out." Next comes the socks. Take hers off, followed by yours. It's very rare for a girl to resist sock removal, but if she does, skip this step and move on to the next one. Unlike the previous steps, taking off her socks isn't necessary to continue. Plus, you can always try again when more clothing is gone. I've had sex with girls who kept their socks on, and it's actually a little kinky. Next come the pants. If you get her pants off, there's a 75% chance you'll be having sex within moments. But before you try, unbuckle your belt first. This tells her where things are going, and gives you an idea of how she'll react. It's a bad sign if she asks why you're unbuckling your belt, but it's a good one if she says nothing. Take off her pants in stages, with a 1 minute rest in between each stage. First unbuckle her belt, then undo the top button, then unzip the zipper, and finally, wiggle her pants down. If she doesn't lift up her waist and the pants are difficult to remove from your wiggling, say, "I need a little bit of help." She may help by lifting her waist or even taking off her pants herself. If she resists, say, "I just wanted to make things a little more comfortable," and start over again. Take off your pants soon after you take off hers, so that after this stage, you have on underwear and she has on her bra and panties. Now it's time to do a direct contact vagina rub. Many guys try to make girls climax with their hand before sex, but this isn't necessary. You just want to penetrate her vagina with your finger for a short while to enjoy the wetness